morning, church.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to worship this morning. As we begin today, I'd like to read to you Psalm 96. And just prepare our hearts and our lives for what's coming in the next hour. The psalmist said, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations and His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise." We're going to praise Him today. We're going to tell one another of His goodness and His mercy and His grace and all the blessings. God has blessed us so, so very much. Would you join me and stand as we pray this morning and stay standing for our first song, and then after our first, you can be seated from that. Amen. Father, thank You for this morning. We are so delighted to be able to gather and to come into Your house. And Father, the psalmist just urges us and tells us how we're to come in and how we're to be prepared to bring our singing and to bring our praising and to bring our worship and to lift up Jesus. Lord, we've come today to do just that. We want to exalt the Lord, our King, our Savior, our friend, and we want to bless You and honor You with everything that's within us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that You would take every one of us and make us instruments of worship today as we sing and as we minister. Bless the Finneys as they lead us in our worship today. As Anthony leads, God, just bless and lead and guide him. And all that we do today, we want it to bring glory and honor to You. And we give You praise. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Amen.
Now, are you guys ready to make some noise and sing to Jesus today? I'm not much of a leader, so you're going to have to help me. I want to hear you. This is a great old song right here. Y'all.
Well, I've heard it all. With His redeeming blood, He loved me there, I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing and His cleansing power revealing. How He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged
Let's go up, Anthony.
I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. I heard of angels singing and the old redemption story. Every day I'll sing up there that the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He brought me to victory beneath the
You guys are sounding good today.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Go on before. At the side of triumph, Satan's host must flee. Oh, then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Christians, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like an army, who's the church of God? Christians, we are trending where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go. Join our happy throng, bind with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This is countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Great job.
Amen. Thank you, Finney Brothers. Amen. Amen, amen. You know that third verse of Onward Christian Soldiers, and I don't think I've sung that song since I was a teenager.
Me neither.
That's been a few years ago for a lot of us.
So it
just reminds us, but I love that third verse because as we sang through that, one in doctrine, one in purity, one in charity, it just reminds me of Nettles Island Church. I mean, we are so diverse. And we are interdenominational. Somebody asked me at different times, they say, what kind of church do you have? And we are not non-denominational because most every one of you came from some particular church, faith, Christian doctrine. So we are interdenominational, but one in faith, one in charity, one in love. And this is the church that love is building. And I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. I want to take a moment, if we have any first-time friends with us today, this is the very, very first time you've come to worship with us. We welcome you, and we're so thankful that you're here. We have a little gift. It's called the Bible Promise Book. It looks just like the one I'm holding up in my hand, and then there's a little Get Acquainted card that's within it. And we have that at the back information desk on the back right corner. When you turn to go out, it'll be on your right side. After church today, I will be there. I'd love to meet you and say hello and welcome you officially and give you one of these little gift books. And I look around today also and I'm seeing so many faces from different parts of the country. You know, the folks, the leaves are changing. It's getting cold at night, right? If you're in Bismarck, North Dakota, you've already had a blizzard or two. And so the Nettles Island snowbirds are coming back. Welcome, all of you that are here. We're so glad that you've made your way back and just looking forward to spending this season together with you today, or this season and today. Amen. I want to go over a couple of quick little announcements, just two really. Number one is thank you so much. If you look in your bulletin, you see where we took in last Sunday morning for the hurricane relief that we're donating to Samaritan's Purse over $5,500. Give yourself a hand today. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, there are so many people that are hurting so badly, and Samaritan's Purse is doing just a tremendous job. Some of you weren't maybe prepared last week, and I kind of heard through the grapevine that some were going to be giving today, and we will receive at the end of the service as we're going out receiving our tithes and offerings. If you want to put something into the offering for Samaritan's Purse for the hurricane relief, it all goes to them. We're asking, as it says in the bulletin, this is just a reinforcement, please make your check out to Nettles Island Church. We're trying to collect all that and write one check instead of sending a bulk of checks out that are written to Samaritan's Purse. There, I think on the table back there, I hope they are. If not, we'll get some. There should be some benevolent envelopes. If you're writing a check, you can either put in the information SP, Samaritan's Purse, and we will know that that's going for that, or you can use one of the offering envelopes today that say benevolence. Put your check or your cash in there, put that in, and it will definitely make its way for that great, great cause. The other thing that we're doing, and it has to do with Samaritan's Purse, is there's a table in the back, and Cindy will be there at the end of service today, and it's time for us to get ready to do our Christmas boxes for little boys and girls all around the world, and Samaritan's Purse is the one that sponsors that. They just do a tremendous, tremendous job. Don't have to talk much about it. We were doing that last year, so I know you're aware of it, but there are boxes back there. There are information sheets, what to do, how to pack the box. You got to take a little sticker because you're either packing for a boy or a girl, and so once the box is sealed, we won't know. So on the outside of the box, the label goes on for a boy, for a girl, and the age bracket of that boy or girl. So thank you in advance. Cindy will help you with all of that after the service today, and we'll have that out next week. And November the 17th is when we want you to bring those boxes completed, bring those back, and we'll load them in the truck, and we'll get them to our distribution center so they have time to get all around the world. Going to fly those boxes to countries everywhere, and little boys and girls will receive gifts, and they'll hear the message that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them to save them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Thank you in advance for that as well. Amen. We are going to continue in our worship this morning. So Anthony, come back and lead us again in a couple of more songs together. Thank you for your singing this morning.
All right, you guys ready to do it again? Everybody got their pipes cleaned out on those first couple songs? We're going to sing What a Day That'll Be, which, wow, what a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. And all peace and love on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
What a glorious day that'll be in the what? Sweet by and by. Y'all ready for that? I hope it's a lot like Nettles Island. I love it up
there. There's a land that is fair and fair. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father. Meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. Our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessings of grace. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the on that beautiful shore.
Amen.
Great job.
Amen, amen. Amen. What a bountiful Father we serve this morning. You know, He thinks about everything. He takes care of us as His children. We're not orphans. We are His family. And He's got our name written in a book. It's up there in heaven, and we're headed home. As we were singing that song, I couldn't help but think about some of my loved ones that are already there. And I'm sure that you were thinking about that this morning, too, as we sang that. Those are some really, really, really old hymns that we don't do a lot in church anymore, but they're beautiful and they remind us of such great, great things to come. You know, there's that old story, you've heard it maybe, the lady that told her pastor that when she passed away, put a fork in her hand in the casket, so when people go by, they go, why has she got a fork in her hand? And then the answer was, because the best is yet to come. You know, it had to do with after the church dinners that they'd always come out with the best desserts and they'd bring a new fork. And she said, you tell the people, I've got a fork in my hand because the best is yet to come. I'm so glad for heaven. I'm so glad eternity is waiting for us. And you know, the best thing about it is it's a free gift. Every one of us here today can have that assurance and can know beyond shadow of a doubt. When this life is over, we blink and we open our eyes and we're in heaven. And there's Jesus waiting to receive us and put His arms around us and welcome us home. You know, until we get there, though, we live through life. And the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, right? Many are the afflictions. We have troubles. Life on earth is not without problem, not without difficulty, not without sickness. So I want to lead us today in prayer, and we've got our bulletin prayer list today and some heavy needs. We're going to pray for Jack Brinkman today. He's in assisted living in the memory care ward and really struggling with some physical issues and not doing real well. And Craig Pennington, Bob and Joyce's son, is in the hospital in a very critical situation today. COVID and pneumonia in the lungs, and he's just not really coherent. We need a miracle in his life. Praying for Joyce today with back issues and physical needs. And of course, Karen Newbar lost her husband last week. And we're going to remember the family of Margaret Berg today, who's eternally home. Praying also for the Hurricane Helene and Milton victims. They're still recovering, and we're just praying as we give and as we pray that God will do great things. And of course, every other name on this list, not to go through all of them today, but they're all valuable and they're all important to God. Every name on this list is carved in the heart of God today. We're going to pray over this list. And I just wonder, by lifting a hand, how many say, Pastor, I'm not on that list, but I came with a burden today. Just lift a hand. God sees that need. God sees your heart this morning. He sees the care of your life, and He wants to comfort you. And He wants to give you peace, and He wants to give you hope and build your faith today to trust Him even more. So let's go to prayer and let's trust Him today. Father, we thank You and we praise You this morning for Your mercy and Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, that You are an almighty God, that there is nothing that's too hard for You. God, that You are a God that sees everything, that the Bible says that not a sparrow falls to the ground, that God, You're not aware of that little sparrow. And God, back in Bible days, you could buy two sparrows for a penny. That's how valueless they were to people, but God, they're not to You. And that tells us today that the compassion of God is so huge, so great. God, we've got big needs we're bringing before You today. Needs in the congregation, signified by lifting up a hand. Needs that are listed in this bulletin today for Jack and Craig and Joyce and Karen and the family of the Berg family today, Margaret's family. Father, we just pray, and we pray for every person that's on that prayer list today. I lay my hand upon it. Lord, I cover it today, and I do that just as a symbol, asking that by the name and the power and the authority in Jesus' name, that You would cover these lives, cover these people. God, begin to move and begin to minister in healing power and victory and hope and peace and calmness and faith. And God, just whatever the need might be, maybe it's a financial need, maybe it's an emotional need or a relationship need today where we're families at odds with one another and they're just hurting, God, because they want that fellowship back. God, we pray today that you would restore, that you would do a mighty work in every person's life. Lord, I think about that day that we read about in the Bible, in the Gospels, where as you hung upon the cross, you cried out to the Father, Lord Jesus, and you said, "It is finished. It's finished." Lord, the battle was won in that moment. Satan was defeated. Hell was put under your feet for all of eternity. And Lord, I know that we battle in this life, but we battle as victors, not as defeated army folks. We are victors today. So Father, give us a sense of great faith and hope this morning as we bring our needs before you, as we lay them at the foot of the cross. Lord, they are your burdens now, and they are your needs. And we trust you completely. We give you all the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your prayers and joining me today. The Bible says, if any two will agree, it shall be done. So we've got a room full today in prayer and agreement. Amen. Amen. It's a privilege this morning to have as a guest in our service to bring the Word of God today, my father-in-law, Reverend Dan Johnson. How many of you have been in service with him when he's been with us and preached before? Almost everybody. A few hands have not. And those of you that have not, you are in for an amazing, amazing blessing this morning as my father-in-law, Cindy's dad, and me as granddad, comes to bring us the Word of God this morning. And you know what's so amazing about this man? I'm not going to tell you how old he is. He can tell you if he wants to. But he's been around for a little while. A little while. He's seen life. He's got a lot of wisdom because with age comes wisdom. And I want you to know that he has served the Lord his whole life. He's a preacher's kid. His dad was a pastor in Minnesota. No, North Dakota. Sorry, Pop. Jamestown, North Dakota. It's a little colder there than it is in Minnesota even. And he's lived for Jesus his whole life. He's been a pastor since he's been an adult, and he is still pastoring and ministering at, you'll have to tell him your age because I'm not going to, at his age, he is still every Sunday, he ministers, he has two places that he ministers in assisted living and also a church, and he's bringing the Word of God and pastoring people. He's living his life to the full until Jesus calls us all home in the rapture, calls him home. And that's what God's called us to do. He's living with purpose. And he's an inspiration to me, and I trust will be to you as we look at God, say, God, if you can use this gentleman at his age, you can use me too. And it is a privilege today. Just love having him around. Wish he'd stick around a lot longer. We just have some great conversations and talks, and he is just a walking biblical dictionary. He's just so knowledgeable on the Word of God. And you'll see today, he's not even going to use a note. He just has it. He just has it. So, Pop, I want to welcome you today. Come and just minister to us. Let's welcome Reverend Johnson today to the pulpit. God bless you.
We do not count a man's years until he has nothing else to count. And the music today, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I made a decision about 20 minutes ago. If I move to Nettles Island, I'm going to join your church. And I'm going to talk to the pastor if he could get that tithe down from 10% to 7%, it would help me. It may be inappropriate, if not rude, to stand up here and talk about my family, and I promise I won't do it again. But a few days ago, I found myself standing at the ironing board, ironing a shirt. I had never ironed a shirt in my life. And then I thought, Martha ironed shirts for 70 years. She did all the laundry, all the ironing, cleaned the house, changed the beds, planned and prepared 3 meals a day, and never complained. And I thought, I don't know if I ever thanked her. So I talked to Jesus about it. And I said, Jesus, I know you're busy, but I've got a wife up there somewhere. If you can find her, thank her for me. And I think he did. A few years ago, my wife bought a long wooden table with 4 padded chairs and a long bench, put it in her favorite room just outside the kitchen, in a room that had windows on 3 sides so she could look out and survey the backyard. She'd get up and fill the bird bath and then sprinkle some breadcrumbs for crows. She had 6 crows who came religiously every morning. And one of them, and Martha, communicated with each other. They talked to each other. And the strangest thing, since she went away, I haven't had 3 crows in my yard. I don't know what they know. And then she would sit at that long wooden table with her Bible and notebooks and read and pray, and then she'd write little notes to God, like this one. God, boy, you were so good today. Those birds are so beautiful. Look at the color in those wings. How do you do that? And then on the bottom of the page, she would write, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I was just sitting up here thinking, I regret that she never met you. She would have loved you. And we would have been waiting an hour at least to get home because she would want to talk to everybody at some length. She died a year ago on Thursday. And then my little granddaughter the next morning wrote, no tears, no fears. The sun rose early this morning to welcome my sweet nanny home. As she entered the pearly gates, she exclaimed, I am a child of God. I wouldn't exchange that for all the money in Elon Musk's bank account. Add Bill Gates and Mr. Bezos. And what a pleasure to be here with Rob and to see what God is doing in this church. And it's beautiful. And my daughter Cindy is the Bible teacher. She reads and studies all the time, and when I have a problem with text, I call her. And once in a while, she has a problem, and she says, wait, I'll call my dad. And then I know we're in trouble. There lived in the South 2 generations ago a man who was famous for the gospel. And he was admired and much beloved for the way he preached the gospel, with clarity, imagination, anointing. He was born in a little log cabin in 1886 in Rooks County, South Carolina. One of 5 siblings, his father was a sharecropper, family income $300. And down that road was a little Baptist church where, as a young man, he gave his life to Christ and surrendered to preach the gospel. He made a promise to his father that he would stay on the farm until he was 21, help with the children, and work in the fields. On his 21st birthday, he went to the bank and borrowed $200 and was on his way to Panama to help build the Panama Canal. Before he left home, his mother met him in his room, put her hands on his shoulder, looked him in the eye, and said, "Son, promise me that when you come home, you'll be able to say, 'Mother, I kept myself pure.'" Two years later, he returned from Panama, went to college, went to seminary, got a law degree, probably so he would be able to handle a deacon meeting in some Baptist church somewhere. And then he pastored a church in New Orleans and one in South Carolina, and then served for 33 years as pastor of the famous Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. I said he was famous for the gospel and highly respected for the way he preached the gospel. He was a Bible orator. He had a way with words. One of his sermons was entitled "Payday Someday." He preached that sermon 1,275 times. Every year, he rented the biggest auditorium in Memphis and preached to the whole city, and then preached all over the country 1,275 times. I heard him preach the 676th time in a little Baptist church in Memphis when I was a boy, and that was very long ago. Payday Someday. The sermon was based on a text found in 2 Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth and said, 'Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, next to my house. And for it I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money.' But Naboth said to Ahab, 'The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you.' So Ahab went to his house sullen and displeased." He was weak and he was wicked. And that is a very bad combination. "He went to his house because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, 'I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers.' And he lay down on his bed and whimpered and whined and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him. And she was a beautiful lady, wicked as all get out. She came from Tyre. Her father was a worshiper of idols and demons. And she was a Jezebel, if you will, please. His wife came and said to him, 'Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?' And he said to her, 'Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, "Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard." And he said, "I will not give it to you." And then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And you know the story, that she organized a scheme in the name of religion and had Naboth put to death. And then she said to Ahab, she said, "Now you can have the vineyard." See, the story is that when the children of Israel came into the promised land, each tribe was given an allotment, an allocation, could we say? Every tribe of Dan, Naphtali, each of the 12 tribes was given a piece of property. And they were to keep that property in their family. They were not to trade it or barter it or sell it or negotiate. It was non-negotiable from this generation on forever. And when Ahab came and said to Naboth, I want that little piece of property over there. It'll just look nice if it'll fit next to us. I got a little flower garden over here. And Naboth said, I cannot trade it. I cannot barter it. I cannot sell it. I won't even talk to you about it. It's not for sale. Not for sale. And that's my message. Some things are not for sale. And I'm asking God that God would raise up some men and women like you in Nettles Island who know what it is to pray, affirming their faith, to pray in faith and repentance, and then standing on their feet and standing like soldiers and saying, by the grace of God, there are some things in our life and in our home that are not for sale and they're not negotiable and we're not going to give them away. We live in a tragic time right now, I needn't remind you, when there are no straight lines. The boundaries are not precise. Goals are not agreed upon. Ends are in constant dispute. The great certainties of modern life are quaking we don't know what to do about it. We don't know what to say. All of modern life is devouring itself in politics, economics, and military, and science, and technology. And since we have replaced man with God, we've got rid of God, now there are no more norms in politics, in business, in marriage. And so we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Dr. Al Mohler of Southern Seminary said, we are witnesses to the most comprehensive and fast-moving moral revolution ever experienced by humanity. Can anyone disagree with that? I have two beautiful great-granddaughters who are on their way to college shortly. And before they go, I'm going to give both of them their little sentence I read somewhere. It says, if your purpose is purity, don't be surprised if the world thinks you odd. And then I'm going to say to their parents, little girls were created, designed to worship. And it is our obligation to be sure they worship something that is worth worshiping. Dr. Carl F.H. Henry said, this generation is lost to the truth of God, to the truth of divine revelation, to the content of his will, to the authority of his word. And for this loss, it is paying dearly. The pagans are stirring again. You can hear them rumbling and rustling in the tempo of our times. You and I have never lived in a time quite like this, when that which was once condemned is now celebrating, and refusing to celebrate is now condemned. Are you with me? And someone long ago warned that you can make something legal, but if it is immoral or unlawful, you can say it's legal, but it's still wrong. We need people of courage today. Say, this property is not for sale. My values are not negotiable. Pastor, give me my water, please, because it's going to get a little rougher from here to the river. Thank you, my friend. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let me suggest three things. Our country is not for sale. There are those who would like to destroy this country. They'd like to destroy this country. They want to say it's all bad. Is this a perfect union? No. Are there dark chapters in our history? Yes. Because sinners wrote those chapters. But this is still a very unique country. And God had something to do with it. The tallest structure in Washington, D.C. is not the White House or the Capitol, but Washington's Memorial, where at the top are inscribed these two Latin words, Laus Deo, praises to God. This country is not for sale. I wrote a couple of books about these things, but nobody read them, so let me quote from the book. Who are we? We are a nation conceived in liberty, not an accident of history. We know who we are and why we're here. We built a city upon a hill, poured tea in Boston Harbor, took a midnight ride with Paul Revere, and fired the shot heard around the world. We fought at Lexington and Concord to be free, at Antietam, Bunker Hill, and Fort Sumter to save the Union. We shed our blood on the sands of Iwo Jima and in the jungles of Guadalcanal. We scaled the cliffs with grappling hooks. We are the boys of Point Hulk. We raided the rice paddies of Mekong Delta and fought our way to Pyongyang. Who are we? We're Washington praying in the snows of Valley Forge. Patrick Henry, if this be treason, Nathan Hale with but one life to lose for his country. William Lloyd Garrison writing in his anti-slavery newspaper, I will not equivocate, I will not excuse, I will not retreat a single inch, and I will be heard. Who are we? We're Robert Frost, who took the road less traveled. Neil Armstrong, that's one small step for man. Billy Graham, the Bible says. President Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Who are we? We're men and women, boys and girls, artists and craftsmen, teachers and lawyers. We are accountants, nurses, firemen, legislators. We are the United States Marines. We survived the Boston Massacre, the Civil War, two World Wars, the Great Depression, and the madness of the 60s, some bad politicians, and 9/11. And we're not going anywhere. We are entombed in a watery grave in Pearl Harbor, buried in Flanders Fields in Arlington and Gettysburg. We are the unknown soldier, but known to God. We lie beneath small crosses in 1,000 cemeteries scattered across the fruited plain. We the people. And may we not forget what President Reagan once said. If we ever forget that we are a nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. This country is not for sale. This gospel is not for sale. This gospel. Let me tell you what it is. This is the gospel. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of over 500 brethren. And he's alive. And today there are 2 billion people across this planet who profess the name of Christ, this gospel. And it's not for sale. What is this gospel? Well, The gospel starts with, I was a born liar. I was a born liar. I could lie without thinking. I'm like the fellow who came to Billy Graham once, said the young man, he said, I must have been born wrong. Well, I was born wrong. I was born a sinner. And the Bible talks about it. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And something has, some way, this sin must be dealt with. Because thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. God cannot look on sin. He cannot do it. So what did God do? Because God loved us so much. He took our sin and put it on his son. I wouldn't do anything like that to my son. But God loved you so much that he took your sin and my sin and put it on his son. And he who knew no sin became sin. And he went away to the cross and hung on that cross for 6 hours. And he saw you on that cross. And when he had gone through that checklist, all the things that required for a sin sacrifice were done. And he saw your name. And then he cried, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. That's the gospel. And this gospel is not for sale. Or they want to change it. I heard one preacher say everything should be changed. Ask me after the service what I think of him. Pat Buchanan once said, if it is not necessary to change, it is necessary not to change. This gospel is not for sale. It does not need altering or doctoring up or finessing. It's not for sale. Because it works. The little boy is playing with his sister. He's 6, she's 4. When a dog lunges and begins to maul her, the little boy throws himself between the dog and his sister, which cost him 2 surgeries and 92 stitches. Later, someone asked him, why did you do that? He's 6 years old. He said, if someone had to die, I thought it should be me. And when God looked down on this mess we've made, God said, I'm going to fix it. And he did it by putting the curse on his son that belonged on my head. And when someone might have asked that carpenter from Nazareth, why did you die? He would have answered, if someone had to die, I thought it should be me. That's the gospel. One of my favorite preachers now in heaven, Ben Hayden from Chattanooga, he concluded his morning sermon. He's out in the foyer of the church, and a man came up and said, Reverend, he said, I haven't been in church in 30 years. I thought I'd come by to see if anything had changed. To which he replied, we're not authorized to make any changes. And the man said, well, this won't sell. And Ben Hayden said, we're not trying to sell it. This is the way home, the cross. This country's not for sale, folks. Don't let anybody kid you. This gospel's not for sale. One more. Our children are not for sale. And need I remind you that this world system is no friend to grace. We must understand that. It will not be by accident or happenstance if our children find their home in heaven someday. We're going to have to do something, something that we're not doing right now, perhaps. As fathers and grandparents and great-grandparents, I grew up in a home where we had family prayers. And there are five boys. My father prayed, and then each of the boys prayed, and then mother prayed. And when mother prayed, she always cried. We didn't like that because crying takes time. We wanted to go back upstairs and fight. We're very godly boys, we were. Remember one day my mother met me between the kitchen and the dining room. And she said, I am determined that my boys will live for God and serve Christ. You remember that interesting newsman, Paul Harvey? Wasn't he good? He was a good guy. He interviewed Billy Graham once, and he asked the evangelist, you know, these near-death experiences, so on. He said, have you ever experienced anything like that? And Billy Graham just kind of skirted the question. But he said, when my mother lay dying, she suddenly sat up and just looked around and said, are all the children on the train? And her thought was, are the children saved? See, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Some of your grandparents, it's a very interesting thing, the relationship, the effect that grandparents can have on the children. It's very important. Don't underestimate the importance of that. Not for sale. Our children are not for sale. Billy Graham held a crusade in Memphis in 1957. Dr. Lee, Dr. Robert G. Lee, of whom I have spoken, was dying. And one morning, Adrian Rogers, then pastor of Bellevue Baptist, called Billy Graham and said, let's go down and see Dr. Lee. They got Cliff Barrows, the song leader, and went down, knocked on the door, and his daughter came. She said, the doctor has been called. And those men went in and stood around his bed. The old preacher lay there, silent and still, and eyes closed. They sang his favorite hymns. And then the old man opened his eyes, and the first person he saw was Billy Graham. And he reached up and drew his head down close and kissed his forehead and said, I've seen heaven. He said, I've seen Jesus. I've seen Mother. Dr. Lee kept the promise he had made to his father, kept the promise he had made to his mother, kept the promise he had made to his God. And recalling the last sentence of Cindy's Mother's Day message here 2 or 3 years ago, may all who come behind us find us faithful, not for sale, not for sale. Now let us pray. Let us pray. Our Father, in the name of Christ, may we live with eternity in view. for our children and our country and our gospel. May we be men and women of character and courage who will say, these things of value are not for sale. Not for sale. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen.
Faith of our fathers living still,
in spite of dungeon,
fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts be high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious song. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our
going to dismiss the service this morning. What a great word. What a great encouragement today to be faithful to those things that we know are true, those things that matter and that will matter through all of eternity. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for your powerful word this morning and challenging us not for sale. Let that word, let that sermon title, and let the words that came forth today just resonate. Chew on that this week. Make that part of your devotions when you get in quiet time with God. Go through that message again in your mind and just say, God, help me to be strong and to be what you need me to be. Our friends, our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren, they need us to be men and women whose faith is not for sale. God bless you today. We're going to dismiss with a benediction, and Pastor Dan has asked me to do this. If you're here today and you need special prayer, he's going to come down and I'll come back after I greet any new people, and we're going to pray with any of you. So as we dismiss and people are leaving, if you'd like to have just Pastor Dan or myself or maybe even one of our board members, if they're handy and they see the needs are great and they'll come up, we'll just take some time and we'll pray with you that God will just intervene in whatever's going on in your life. But thank you for being here today. Thank you for your love and your fellowship and your care for one another, for just your support. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He bless, give you peace in your heart this day and all the days of this week until we meet again. God be with you. Have the best week. Amen. Amen. Come on up.